Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 377. We're up to a brand new franchise. We're going to finish off the Star Wars franchise. We're going to start doing the 7, 8, and 9 sequels of the Star Wars. So we're going to start it off with Force Awakens from 2015. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. I mean, we already know from here on in, we already know we all went to the theater for this. I mean, it's a big event. It's a big Star Wars thing, right? So what was your initial reaction when you first saw this movie?
I will say, not only did we go to the theater for this, every person on earth went to the theater for this for this movie. I know you're going to give the specific numbers, but mm-hmm. I already know that this is the largest grossing movie in U.S. box office history. It's number one. Nothing has made more. So everyone went. I liked this movie when I first saw it. I liked it a lot, actually. I remember seeing it in a Cinemark XD specifically, and I bought the popcorn bucket. It was like a stormtrooper head where the popcorn goes in the top of the head. Like, I went all out. I had a shirt. I was wearing my Star Wars shirt, Force Awakens. Had never seen the movie, but had a Force Awakens shirt. So I was excited for it, even though I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I've said that before. I was excited for it, and I walked out of the theater really enjoying it. And that's what I'll say as far as like my first experience with it. Yeah,
my first experience of this movie, I went in. I think me and my wife is together. We went in. And I was like, all right. I was like, let's see what we got to offer here, Star Wars. Let's see if we're going to continue the Anakin story. Honestly, I walked in. And when I walked out, I was a little disappointed. I was half disappointed and half like, okay, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because of J.J. Abrams, to me. Because I was like, man, this dude did Star Trek, and now he's doing Star Wars. And I was kind of like, you know when you have a girlfriend, mm-hmm. and she goes to another dude, and you're like, but you're supposed to be with me.
You see them together at a restaurant.
Yes, and you feel disgusted. That's how I felt like, because I was like, damn, J.J. Abrams is Star Trek, all right? Because that first Star Trek movie, we covered it here on the Action Movie Guys podcast, and we love the first one. It's one of the best ones we ever seen, right? And then he goes to Star Wars, and I'm like, yo, he just did this to me. He just left me to go to someone else, which again, it's a big property. So I don't blame him.
I wouldn't say no either.
I would not say no either. I mean, you giving me Star Wars, that's a big property. You might do something cool and different. But anyway, I was a little torn. But I was kind of torn because of that. So I was a little disappointed and kind of happy too, because again, it's been a long time since Star Wars Phantom, Return of the Sith. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see Star, you know, one thing, and we can all bash about Star Wars all we want. It's good to see Star Wars in the big thing, in the big screen.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what storyline it is. It's just fun to see the Jedis and the plane battles and whatever storyline they want to give us. I like it. And I'm like, I hope we get to see more of it. But that first initial reaction, I was on the fence. I was 50-50. But I can't wait to talk about this because it's been a long time. It's been since 2000.
I will say time has done something to these movies. I will say that.
Yeah.
From when they came out to now. I won't say if it's been kind or unkind, but it's definitely had an effect.
Okay. All right. Well, look, let's get to the financials because you brought it up. You hinted it a bit. Okay. $245 million budget.
Doesn't matter.
For Force Awakens. And this movie grossed $2 billion on the box office. Now, I would like to say this question to you, Nate, because honestly, we never do questions on box office and stuff. But let's be honest. We both see this movie now.
Yeah.
Do you think if it wasn't for Han Solo, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Chewbacca back in the suit, if it wasn't for those people, do you really think this movie would have grossed $2 billion?
Well,
if the original guys and girls came back to this movie? You can be honest.
Well, what I'll say is that's a tough question because it is the, you know, that, and I just looked up Rogue One just to double check, and that made $1 billion, and that had none of these people in it. So would it still made $2 billion? Maybe not, but it's a hard question to answer because they are the franchise, and this is a continuation of that franchise. No, I think there was a lot of anticipation, you know, for it. What I will say is that, and I thought this was weird at the time. So 2 billion worldwide, 900 and something million US. 900, like the most, almost a billion just US and a billion overseas, which is crazy. I'm surprised people went back to see it so many times. That's what I'm more surprised about, because you're not making that much money unless you're going to see it. Like, some people went to see this like 5 times in the theater.
Yeah.
That's where it's a little bit like, really? Even I liked it, but I only saw it once in the theater.
I agree.
Yeah.
I saw it once
too. So I'm like, that's weird, but would have made two if they weren't in it? No. I would say no. But also, like, I can't imagine the story without, like, they should have been there, so. And they didn't even use, well, we'll get into it in a moment, but. We'll get into it in a moment, but anyway, I'll say no.
Okay. All right. Well, what did the Rotten Tomatoes
very
critics
good. Say? This thing has crazy good reviews.
Oh.
I was surprised. 93% critic score on The Force Awakens, but 84% audience score as well. So.
Pretty high.
I mean, I guess if you got a $2 billion movie, it makes sense that, you know, it has very good reviews. People really, and I, this, another one that when it came out, I remember it being very positive buzz about it. So very high though. Like these are as high as like the original Star Wars movies. These, both of these are higher than all of the prequel movies.
I mean, it is. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very high.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it up there for myself. I don't think, I mean, 84 is being very generous. I'm going to be really honest. Yeah. I won't put, maybe 70-ish, 70 to 80 maybe. 84 is very too high for me. And 93 is like, they're making this thing Empire Strikes Back good. So, well, we're going to talk about it right now. We're going to get into it. Now, lead character, I guess we're going to go with Rey because Rey is the main focal point of this movie. So,
but
we're going to go with Daisy Ridley as Rey.
But like all Star Wars, it's an ensemble. So, because you also have Finn, he's a main character. He has a storyline. Poe.
Yeah.
You know, so while the original had really a big three, you had Han, Leia, Luke, this is like Rey, and then the other ones are like more side characters. You know, Luke was the focal point of the story as well. So she's essentially the Luke Skywalker of this set of movies. We'll put it that way. So the funny thing is, watching this now, I don't hate Rey in this movie. There's things in that, well, I would say is more so with her storyline that I don't love. Like, I do not love that. I don't even like that she knows how to use the Force so fast. The problem is they have this is the seventh Star Wars movie, right? So they have established rules. And this is the problem people have sometimes with these movies. They set up all these rules. Luke is the, Anakin's the chosen one. And then Luke is like the next chosen one. And Luke needs training, a lot of training. He has to go see Yoda. He has to learn. He doesn't even finish his training because he's just too, you know, impulsive. And he struggles because of that. You know what I mean?
Impatient. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. He ends up getting his hand chopped off because he couldn't wait. You know, he just couldn't wait. There's consequences. And my problem with Rey, with what they did with her, is there's not any consequences. She's so good at everything right away. And that's the only negative I have about her. Because other than that, I think Daisy Ridley's fine in the role. I think Rey's like likable. I think she is a likable character. I like her relationship with Finn. She's like, they got a good buddy relationship. You know, it's not really romantic, but it just seems like they're good friends. Like they, even though they just met, they become good friends. I like that. I like that she has, you know, she's honorable. You know what I mean? She doesn't want to quit. She wants him to come. So I think she has a lot of great characteristics. She has a good look. I just don't like, and it's not her fault that they wrote her that way. I just don't like that she's so amazing at everything all the time. She knows how to fix the Millennium Falcon, fly the Millennium Falcon. She lives in a dirt planet and she's like she knows how to fly all this stuff. She knows how to use the Force right away. Like Kylo Ren's interrogating her, whatever. She knows how to like reverse it on him. She knows how to use it on that stormtrooper. She knows how to fight with a light. She's a master lightsaber fighter, even though she never picked. So like, those are the kind of things I don't like. So that's what I still landed on a 4. Could have been a 5 if they didn't do all that stuff, honestly. Like, I think she is likable. And then I did kind of factor in the right. Like, I like Poe in this movie and I like Finn. They're good characters. I don't think this is the movie where they screwed it up. But they screwed up that part. She's too good at everything.
I agree with you. Watching this, and I'm not a big fan of Rey. I am not a big fan of Rey. But rewatching this movie, you're absolutely right. There is nothing wrong with, first of all, Daisy Ridley is weird. I love her voice. There's something about, I guess it's the British accent.
It's a little deeper, too. She doesn't have a very high voice.
No, she don't. So like, I'm like, man, she has an attractive voice.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a cute girl. I'm not saying she's horrible. She's very pretty. Like, I would date her and walk the red carpet.
Yeah.
But in terms of Rey, you're absolutely right. There was no journey to this character. And this is what I mean. We do get an arc, people. And we're not, me and Nate are not going to tackle this right now because we got Last Jedi, we got Rise of Skywalker it's a big ass arc. But what I mean is, there is no beginning to Rey. She's a scavenger. She's scavenging stuff. And you're like, wow, okay.
Garbage. Then, she picks up garbage and sells it for proportions.
Yeah, pretty much, right? She goes to the Death Star, the broken down Death Star. She takes parts and she sells it for food. Okay, great. She's a nobody. Awesome. Love it. That's cool. Yeah. She comes across this droid. She saves the droid. Now you're going, okay, it's an adventure. We're going to start this. Now she gets captured by Kylo Ren. She starts to get tortured and now she's unlocking her force ability. She's force sensitive. And I'm like, cool, fine. We're going down this route. But the problem is, you're absolutely right. There was no progression in power in this show, in this movie, yeah. Right? She's basically mind blocks this guy. And he's like, wow, where is there something wrong here? And he's trying to penetrate her mind and is not working. Then she uses the Jedi mind trick, which we all know because of what happened with Obi-Wan in A New Hope.
Yeah.
Right? He does it and he goes, well, it takes a long time to learn when you become a master Jedi. This lady was not a master. I mean, she just pops. So you're like, damn, I know this falls under action, but I don't want to talk about it under the action aspect of it. I do not like Rey versus Kylo at the end of the movie.
The lightsaber.
Because you're telling me, yes, yeah. You're telling me, and I'm not going to talk about the fight. You're just telling me in that aspect, Kylo was trained by his uncle in lightsaber battles. He's learning from this Darth Sith Snoke. And you're going to tell me a girl that never wielded a lightsaber could subdue this guy? And that is where, to me, this movie just falls apart. The beginning of the movie, amazing, great. Once it starts to tell more of the story, it just starts to debacle because you're just like, wait a minute. And this is not only the problem here. This problem has always been in Star Wars, where you have, let's say, Darth Vader, super duper strong, and everyone thinks he's the holy grail of Siths, but then a guy comes that never wielded the damn, like, let's say Obi-Wan Kenobi, hasn't touched the lightsaber in 10 years, defeats Vader in 2 seconds. And you're like, wait a minute, how does that work? Like, this dude is in prime form Vader. Same thing with Kylo. Kylo, he's not full Sith, but damn, this guy could beat the... I mean, in the beginning of the movie, he stopped the lightsaber. I mean, he stopped a blaster mid-air while talking to the dude, and the guy is walking around the thing, and then, So that was my problem with Rey. Rey, I gave her a 4. Finn, great character. I liked him a lot, but yeah. Damn, this guy gets a different arc throughout every other movie coming down.
Boy,
in.
Does
but
he.
This version,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
this version
of Vin, I liked a lot. I might say I liked him more than Rey in this movie because I felt the journey with him was way funnier.
And look what happened when he picked up a lightsaber. He did not win.
Yeah. That other
stormtrooper, and he's a trained stormtrooper fighter.
Yeah.
But I like that. You can't win every fight every time.
No, you don't.
And she does.
No, you don't.
She wins every fight every time.
Yeah, even with the stick, right? Her stick. And I was just like, okay. Then you have Poe. I like Poe.
Poe's cool.
Yeah. Again, another character that changes throughout every other movie. So boy. I like this version of Poe. He was more heroic. He was more of the Han Solo, but not too much Han Solo. It was like
not
more
as
adventurous.
Cocky, not as arrogant.
No. Yeah. No, he's not. He was just like, I am. He's the Maverick of the Rebels.
I like that. Yeah.
He's like,
and he's likable.
I am so
he's
likable. Good.
He's friends with Finn. Very. He lets him keep his jacket. You know, he gives him a name. I'm going to call you Finn. He's like, we're boys.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's the right-hand man of freaking Leia.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? He's the Maverick of the Rebels. And I liked it. And I was like, you know what? But I can't give a 5 because you're absolutely... She was so strong. And I'm like, damn. But that's not... I mean, this is a trend that's going to be happening throughout all Star Wars because that's what it's looking like.
Yes.
But yes, I give it a 4. You give it a 4. Okay. Main villain. My boy, Kylo Ren.
Not my boy.
What are you going to give?
Not my boy.
What are you going to... Not your boy.
Okay.
No, well, I mean...
I will say this.
You'll see what I mean. But go ahead. What do you think of Kylo?
Yeah, I will say this. I think this movie has good characters, both on the good and the bad side, and then does at least one thing with them each that I hate. So with Rey, too powerful right off the bat. Doesn't need to learn, doesn't whatever. Other than that, cool. Kylo Ren, great look, first of all. Love the look. I like the voice changer thing. I think it's a cool sounding voice.
Mm-hmm.
Starts off, comes off as powerful. Like you said, he comes to that village, wipe people out, stops a laser bullet, got a lightsaber with little sticks that come out the side.
Yeah.
You know, cool. It looks different. It's all wild and crazy. One fatal flaw for him that makes him not a 5 for me. This dude's a brat. He's a brat. And I hate that about him. He has temper tantrums. They come and tell him, he starts like slicing up the wall. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Here. And he does it twice. He has 2 temper, like a little kid, like a little. And I don't like that. One thing is that I don't like is villains that are that should be awesome and seem awesome until they throw a little fit like a child. I like a little stoicism with my villains. I like a little bit of, I'm so mad right now that I'm not even going to move. That's a lot more intimidating and scary to me than, I'm so mad right now, I'm going to slice up this wall. It's the equivalent of like in real life, someone getting mad and like punching a wall. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you punching a wall? That's weird. So he's a brat. You could tell he's got daddy issues. My dad, you know, when Rey is like, you know, they're talking about Han Solo. He's like, you'd be disappointed. It's like, oh my God, he got daddy issues. Okay. So overall, I do think he's cool. I do think he's cool. I know I gave a negative and it's annoying, but that, I still give him a four. I gave him a four. I do like Kylo. I know I led with he's not my boy. I think he's cool. Overall, I love Adam Driver. Great casting choice. I like him in the role. I do think it's hilarious when he gets shot with that blaster thing and he just keeps punching himself. Like what a weird choice. He got shot and he's like punching himself and the blood's dripping on the floor. I mean, it's kind of cool, but then he does it like two or three times and I was like, all right, I don't know what's going on now. He's just punching himself. But it's the temper tantrums, man. I'm not a fan of I'm so mad I'm gonna slice up this wall. And again, he does it two different times and I'm like, he's a brat. So if he wasn't a brat, five. If Rey wasn't so good at everything, five. But they gave him these weird flaws for me. So yeah, I gave him a four.
Okay. Kylo Ren's my boy. Yeah. Like if I had to pick a Sith dude, like I have a tattoo of Kylo Ren on my arm. I like the character a lot. My problem with, and you know, I can say I love the character, I think he's great or whatever, but there is damn flaws and this movie portrays it. The beginning of the movie should have been Kylo Ren throughout the entire 2 hours that we sat down watching the movie. And I was telling my wife this, and again, writing Alex sits down and I'm like, this is the flaw of this movie. I agree with you 100%. The temper tantrum, I'm like, okay, because it reminded me a little bit of his grandfather, Anakin,
yeah.
Right? Anakin has those little whiny fucking moments. Oh, so he's like, I'm in a master. Yeah, mad whiny, right? But this guy's more bratty. Like, oh, you can't get him mad. He gets mad and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm okay with it. But I do agree. Stupid flaw. My problem with this damn movie is why did they have to had him remove his fucking helmet?
Oh.
He did not need to remove the helmet. The minute he did that, he looked like a Disney princess. And I tell people this all the time. He looked like a Disney princess when he took out his helmet. He did not need to take it off. And I think that was the turning point for me with the character, because after that, that character became crap when he took off his helmet. It was god awful. I don't think they knew what they were going to do with that character much, and you could see it, because even leading towards the battles towards the end, it did a 360 from the beginning of the movie to the middle of the movie to the ending of the movie. Kylo Ren did three arcs and he just got worse towards the end of the movie. You know what I mean?
Not only that, it, like Hux, there's two other villains that and the Snoke guy, and he gets sunned a little bit sometimes. It's like, let the guy loose. He's supposed to be like a boss character. Is he though?
So I told my wife, I said, what? She goes, but what were you doing different? And I always like to play the hypothetical me as a writer. What would I change to make the movie better? And I think it would have worked. Would have been the bridge scene where Han Solo is in front of his son and he does take off his helmet because he wants to see, you know, he goes, show me your face, and he does take it off. That's the first time we see. And I was like, this is so shit. What I would have done there, when he goes, take off your helmet, I want to see my son. And Kylo's about to do it and he ignites the fucking thing and his father goes, why? And he just goes, your son is dead, and throws his off. And I would be like, oh my God, that's fucking villainy, bro. At his finest. Because that's his only, what did he say in the bridge? That is his only task, is to kill his father, become the next step of the Sith. But at the, if you really look at that scene, Han Solo kills himself. He didn't ignite the thing. He didn't want to turn on the fucking saber to kill his father. His father's the one who freaking, he just is move the saber. All he did was move it to his stomach, but Han is the really one who ignited it to kill himself. So I was just like, this is really, really, really dumb. I think they should have did it that way. He's about to take off the helmet and went, oh, hell no. I'm already full Sith. He could have did it and then continue on the whole movie. We don't need to see his face until the final Rise of Skywalker. You could take it off wherever you want to do there, but you had to have menacing, and Kylo wasn't as menacing until the first part of the movie, menacing. When he first lands, he kills the guy. He goes, where's Skywalker's plan? And the guy's like, I know you before you were zapped. That's it. He killed him. And I was like, love this. Sir, what do you want to do with these villagers? Kill them all. And I was like, this dude is awesome. I was like, this dude, love it. Next thing you know, temper tantrums. Next thing you know, he takes off his helmet. And next thing you know, he's in love with Rey. And I was just like, come on. I'm like, Like, you can't tell me. This dude's redemption arc all happened in Force Awakens, if you really look at it.
And if I remember correctly, I think there's more temper tantrums down the line, too. So it's going to be
a fatal flaw of
Kylo Ren is he's a brat.
Yeah.
And you know, push a button, shoot him, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, when he meets his, in Last Jedi, yeah. When he meets Luke. But my thing is that with Kylo, there was such great opportunity
attention.
To make him one of the best Sith Lords. And they failed so bad in that department. So anyway, I gave it a 4.
Okay.
You gave it a 4. Okay, action scenes.
I struggled with this one, to be honest. There's a good amount of action. I would not say it's nonstop. It's not nonstop action. There's a lot of cool moments, though. Like I mentioned, I don't know why it's such a great shot. The stormtrooper with that like lightning stick thing that fights Finn when he like ignites it, and that's a pretty cool fight. You get a lot of X-Wing stuff. One thing I do like is that they showed the X-Wings and stuff fighting like on a planet instead of just in space, like when they come flying over the water and they're shooting and there's TIE fighter battles. There is plenty of action, and J.J. Abrams shoots action well. We talked about it in Star Wars. We haven't done his Mission Impossible movie yet, but we will. It's on the schedule in the future. He shoots it well. He has a good eye. I really don't have too many complaints. I was just never wowed by anything, if that makes sense. I was never like, oh, that was incredible. It's more like, oh, that was cool. That was cool. That was cool. And this is good. So in a way, like, this is the last score I wrote down. I usually write down all my scores at once, and the last one I did was the action, and I gave it a 4, and it could have been a 5, but with these movies, they all have like relatively similar amounts. So some of them have a little bit more than others, but nothing, I don't think there's anything in this that's like a super memorable moment. There's a lot of cool stuff. I like the lighting in the end fight, even though I don't like the fight, like you said, the Rey and Kylo. I like the way it looks. Nighttime, snow, reflecting, the red, the blue. Cool. But like, remember the lightsaber fights in the prequel movies? They were amazing. And then you get this one, it's like back to just sort of... they're not doing the fast. So it's a step down. I think the lightsaber fights are worse in this than they are in the prequel movie. So I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I do agree with you. The lightsaber fights are horrible. And again, it comes down to they should have had Kylo with the fast saber and fucking kicking this girl's ass. But apparently that doesn't work in these universes. So you're going to get these kind of foo-foo lightsaber. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Throughout the whole 3 movies, you don't get good lightsaber scenes. I don't even think, I can't even point out one that I go, oh yeah, this is like the best ones. No, I can't top Revenge of the Sith, to be really honest with you. But okay, so what did I think of the action here? I gave it a 5.
Okay.
And this is why I agree with you a lot. Yeah. This movie has a lot of moments, but I think it captures the essence of a modern Star Wars. And this is what I mean, right? The scene that they're fighting when they take Kylo takes Rey, and they're fighting in that planet. I forgot the name of the planet, with the rocks, and Finn is about to beat ass with the lightsaber, and Han Solo uses the crossbow for the first time. He goes, oh, I like this weapon.
Yeah.
And he's shooting it. Mad funny moment. But when you see the rebels coming from a distance, and I was just like, holy shit, this is so modern, right? You see it with the fog in the air, very Top Gunny, right? You see them in the distance, and you're like, wow. Then that scene with Poe doing the one shot, with Poe shooting all of them, and you see the camera spinning, and Finn is looking. He goes, whoa, that pilot is really good.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's a good shot.
It's one of my favorite moments of an X-Wing fight. I was just like, Jesus, you see him doing all these spinning and everything. It's not like a one shot too. Like, I was just like, wow, that was remarkable. Like the way they shot that scene. I do agree with you. Not as much memorable, but there's a lot of great scenes. Like I said, that one scene, amazing. The Kylo battle against Rey at the end, like I said, could have been way better than what it was. I just think, I think they kind of messed up when they went, oh man, this dude is, he's going to overpower her. How can we do it? He gets shot. First of all, if you're going to tell me, and this is where, again, this force fucking healing thing comes along, and it pisses me off, because we already know force healing's in this universe.
Yeah.
Right? Why didn't he just force heal right there and then battle? But no. We didn't get that.
No, he punches himself instead.
Yeah, he punches himself to bleed out more because he's in rage because he lost his father. And I was just like, whatever, dude. Like, you're not believable at this point now. But battle, not as good. But I kind of like throughout the movies, the certain, you know, certain battles here and there were not as great. But I think the spaceship, like the beginning with Poe spaceship, was pretty good too. Like, I like that. The fight in the planet before Kylo kills everybody was pretty. It set up the movie very well. That whole scene. with the stormtroopers landing. They're running out of explosions. And then, you know, Poe gets in the X-Wing. They shoot the engine and then he shoots all of them. Like, I like that. I don't think it sets up pretty well. And throughout the movie, you have, like you said, spurts of action. But these were memorable. Like, I could freeze frame those X-Wings over the lake because that shit looked dope. I could freeze frame some of the scenes of Poe flying. And you're going, wow, that's pretty cool. The scenes with Boba, BB-8 was pretty cool. You know, some scenes with him. The Millennium Falcon was actually pretty cool. So, I mean, the scene that they flew the first time, remember that?
Yeah, when she flew in Jakku.
In Jakku, yeah. I like that scene. I was like, yo, this thing is pretty cool. I mean, she knew how to fly the damn thing, but I was just like, okay, it is what it is. But anyway, there's a lot of moments
everything
that
I say, I agree with you. I liked it. Just, I don't know why.
But you didn't like it. Yeah, it's okay.
Like, oh, it's a 4. But I see I see your five, totally.
Yeah, I totally understand that. So yeah, I gave it a 5. Okay, storyline.
3. Three. I think it's okay. This is a mixture of there's good in here and there's not, and annoying. I won't say pure bad. Good and annoying. We've touched on the annoying stuff that factors into the story as far as the way the characters are written. Rey too powerful, Kylo too whiny, too bratty. Okay, take those things out. The story is improved for me. Also, it's not very original. It's got a lot of beats from the very first Star Wars movie. Like, again, it's not okay. It's like, and then I like how they try to differentiate it. That's not another Death Star. Like, no, it's not. Look how big it is. But it's still a Death Star. It's still a big circle that shoots a laser that blows up planets and stuff. Except this one is so big that it somehow is a planet, which doesn't make any sense, by the way. It has trees and mountains and snow. Like, you're telling me they built this machine, they built this, the Death Star is a machine, right? It's mechanical. It's a ship.
Yeah.
You're telling me they built this ship and somehow also built mountains on it? Like, built mountains and lakes and trees? I mean, I guess you could plant a tree anywhere. Why is it snowing? Like, it has atmosphere property. Like, there's a lot, and I get it, it's so big, it's the size of a planet, but they made it into a planet, which is weird because it's a machine, it's a ship, it has a big gun in it, it has like offices. So I don't know, whatever, that's a nitpick, but I always thought it was weird. I'm like, where are they fighting again? And I'm like, oh wait, they're on that ball
planet.
So
yeah.
Anyway, it shouldn't have those things. Now, the other than that, I think I just wish it was a little more original. It has the same arc as the first Star Wars. Person on a dusty planet, renegade pilot, a guy and a girl kind of developing a friendship, a villain who wears all black and has a red lightsaber, a big giant planet that shoots lasers, another general guy, Hux in this case, and in the first one it was that other guy, whatever, Peter Cushing's character. Then there's an overlord in the original. It's the Emperor, and this one, it's that big CGI guy in the chair. You know, it's like all the same stuff. So, by the way, this is where I started, almost did a spoiler early. I almost changed it to a 2. A complete misuse and waste of the original characters of Star Wars. The fact that you don't get a single scene with all three of them together in this movie, in any of these movies, spoiler alert, a travesty. It is one of the biggest travesties in writing that I, in modern movies, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Look at something like Jurassic World Dominion. I didn't even like that movie, but they were smart enough to have Ian Malcolm, Dr. Grant, Ellie Sattler be in the movie together, in scenes together. You know what I mean? To have these guys, you get Han and Leia a little bit, but they're like divorced now. And they're like, you know, I still think about you. Luke is God knows where. He's a freaking in another planet. And then they're just like, Han has the most screen time out of all of them. But misuse of them. So 3 for me.
Well, it's a good thing you said that because I gave it a 2.
Ooh.
Because I do agree with you. You got all these legendary characters, and they're not even in the movies together at all. We don't get Luke towards the last 2 seconds of the movie, okay? Yeah. Luke, for some reason, does not talk to his sister, which he could because she's Force sensitive too, so she could fucking use the Force, and they could talk to each other, mind to whatever.
Telepathically,
they could, honestly. I mean, just like she could talk to Kylo if she wants. It's just Kylo's blocking her ass out. But they don't even do that. Han and Leia scene, I feel bad because she died. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I'm like, well, this thing stinks. Because I really thought it was going to be her and him on the Millennium Falcon, with Chewie, you know, going off or maybe even cross paths with Kylo and his TIE silencer. And he's like, oh man, mom and dad is in that ship. And he's like, you know, he's on the fence of should I shoot this shit or should I not? You understand what I mean? Like, he's right. Like, am I going to shoot this damn Millennium Falcon? But he can't. Like, because half of him is like, doesn't want to do it. But we don't get none of this. You just get the same. You're right. Same plot point. And I hate movies that repeat the same fucking storylines. I hate it. This movie does it the worst. And that's the reason, like I said, I was disappointed the first time watching this movie, because I was just like, this is the same shit that we just saw and people love. And again, I'm not going to audience shame, but it comes to the point that if you're going to tell a studio that you enjoy this movie a lot, $2 billion, then that means they're going to go lazy on the sequels in storytelling. This does not push the storyline. And I mean, we could go nerdy. We could go way nerdy into the Star Wars lore and all this, but Nate, I know you're not into none of that shit, but I'm going to ask you honestly, does this movie, this one movie, I'm not talking about the others that come, does this one movie ties to anything 1 through 6?
I feel like on a story level, no. It has characters, those three old people. There's the Millennium Falcon. Oh, there's Chewbacca. Stuff like that. But on a story level, I don't feel like anything that happened in the first 6 movies has an impact on the story in this movie, personally.
Exactly. Yeah. So then why is this movie attached to those 6 movies? That's my problem with this movie. When I left the theater, I even asked people that were coming out the theater, like that were talking about it or whatever. And I asked one of the dudes and I was like, how does this movie connect to the Anakin Skywalker storyline that we had, 1 through 6? And they all stood stunned. They were just like, they don't. And it's a new thing. And I was like, then it just should have been,
if anything,
its own franchise.
If anything, it ties to a movie that doesn't exist. Because they're talking about like, Kylo Ren, he trained with Luke. And you don't see none of that. You don't, so something happened in between. There's a movie there, but nothing from the first, or nothing at the end of Return of the Jedi to this, like nothing matters.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see why he exiled himself from, you know, why did he cut himself? It's just he's exiled himself. And it's like, okay, whatever. This is like, to me, this movie should have been in its own thing, like Rogue One. It should have just started a new franchise, but at least 7, 8, and 9 could have been, if they ever decided to, and supposedly George Lucas, when he sold Star Wars, gave them 7, 8, and 9 script. They decided not to use the damn thing. They went their own route. My thing is, if George Lucas gave you 7, 8, and 9, they should have just used 7, 8, and 9, because at least he had the story done. They decided to go down this route. I don't enjoy this, and I don't even consider this part of that saga. But anyway,
fair.
I gave it a 2. I wasn't too fan of it. I did not enjoy the Rey like Kylo's, but then it just fell apart. Other than that was pretty
it's
much
formula.
It.
This is a formula film.
Very formulaic.
Yeah.
Yes. Very. Okay. Overall.
Overall, I think the movie's okay. And this is what I wanted to touch on. Like, when I walked out of the theater, I really liked it. And then watching it this time, I was like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. It's decent. It has some great... I did factor in a lot of stuff into my final score. Like, the score is really good. The John Williams score is really good. I actually like the cast in this. Like, I like John Boyega. I like Oscar Isaac. I like Adam Driver. I like Daisy Ridley. Like, well cast as far as new character. Max von Sydow is in this. He's only in one scene at the beginning, but still, great actor. No. So there's positives. It looks great. Sounds great. Great cast. Good action. You would think I'm about to be like 5, but it just, when you watch it, it's like, oh, I've seen this before. Better. And it was like 50 years ago. You know what I mean? Like the original Star Wars. So I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I mean, it's a 7 out of 10 movie in my head. Like, it's good. I don't think this is bad. I can't watch this and be like, I hate this. But I liked it better the first time. I like it less now than I did then. However, I do think that's kind of the floor with this movie. I don't think I'll watch it and ever get lower than a 3.5. Like, it is what it is. It's fine. I think the next two are more divisive and more controversial than this. This is a safe movie. It's a safe movie. The worst you could say about it is it's safe. It plays by the numbers, color by numbers, and it does it well, but it's safe. Those are risky, and they take swings, and maybe they connect, maybe they have misses. This doesn't really take big swings, you know? If this was a baseball game, this movie's going for singles. It's going for singles and bunts. It's not trying to hit a homer. It's fine. So 3.5 for me.
Okay. I agree with everything you said. The only difference that I will just add to yours is that I was bored. By halfway through the movie, I started to get bored.
The middle's boring.
Yes, yeah. It is very boring. And I was just like, I don't remember this being this boring. I mean, the first time you watch it, you're into the movie. And again, I got it on 4K, but I didn't rewatch it on 4K.
I just brought the 4K.
Yeah, Disney Plus. I watched it digitally, right? Like, so I was, and you know what's funny? I know I brought this movie. I couldn't find it in my collection. I was just like, this is weird. So I did watch it on Disney Plus. I mean, it looked amazing on Disney Plus and it sounded great. So it's not like it was a lost there. But in terms of what I was saying was, the movie was boring. And I think the fact is that it was a repetitive storyline. Nothing changed the needle in terms of arc between these characters. It was just kind of the same rehashed as told modern version of the old stuff. So I wasn't too crazy and thrilled. The Han Solo death scene where it's supposed to be this wow factor, I didn't get emotionally attached to nothing because I was like, what idiot is going to go onto a bridge when his son is evil?
Right.
Did not work for me. And I thought that whole setup did not work at all. Like, there was something off with that scene, right? Leia tells him, if you see our son, try to change him, right? Get him back. And he's like, but he doesn't want to listen to me. And she's like, yeah, I think he will. First of all, she's the one who put that dude in his own deathbed. So he listened, right? He goes and he's like, Ben, I actually laughed in the theater. I remember getting called a jerk because I laughed because I thought it was a stupid setup and it didn't mean nothing at all, where it could have meant more from Leia. Like, imagine if Leia's the one that went on the bridge or some type of storyline as that, and he's trying to stab her with the lightsaber and she uses the force to, you know, block it. Like, what the hell are you doing? Then Han Solo comes out like, huh?
Could have been a cool moment.
Yeah, right. And then Han is on the other side of the bridge like, Ben! And he just turns around and then he stabs him because he has no force. So he's like, well, if I can't take him or her out. Like, it could have been a cool family moment, but it ends with a tragedy where Han takes the blunt of that fight, like by mistake somewhere, somehow. But anyway, wasn't too thrilled with it, man. I wasn't too crazy with this. And I honestly, I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't think I'm ever going to watch this again. I finished it.
I don't feel a call to rewatch these.
Exactly.
I don't. And I when I watched it, I said, that's pretty good. I have the 4K box set. I didn't bother to take it down. I was like, I'll just watch it on Disney Plus.
That's a different discussion. That's a show on its own where we could tackle on Geeks and Flicks Raw. But I do agree with you. I watched the first six on the Skywalker box set because I wanted to see it, the disc version, which they look great. And sounded great.
Yeah.
7, 8, and 9, they're going right to Disney Plus.
I'm not taking that thing down again.
Yeah. Up there. Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. I was just like, but anyway, that's a 3. What's your total points?
18 and a half out of 25. Again, safe, fine. These are the words. When you ask me, Nate, what do you think about the Force Awakens? The best compliments I can give it are, it's pretty safe. It's fine. It's decent. It's solid. Those are not the movies you want. Those are not the words you want to hear if you're like watching a great movie.
Yeah.
I'll never say great. I'll say good. It's good. But 18 and a half out of 25 for me.
I gave it an 18 out of a 25. If you tell me, hey, Alex, what do you think of Force Awakens? I go, it could have been better.
Could have been worse.
I always say that. I always say that. I'd be like, could have been a better movie than what it was. That's all I say. And I'll be like, oh, Kylo's the best, to me, the best villain. But other than that, I mean, that's just because I love his design.
Yeah.
Like, I really love that dude's cloak and mask. So anyway,
yes.
18.5 for you. All right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
All right. Next, we are continuing. This is July, a long month, a lot of monster movies. And we got another one. We're continuing on with our monster movie mayhem of July with a movie called Pacific Rim. So we're going to be doing some Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro, our second del Toro movie, because we did Blade 2. That was the first del Toro movie. And then next week, we have a special guest. You know him. You love him. He's one of our interns. Our boy Scott is returning. He specifically said, I want in on this Last Jedi talk. So we're going to be doing The Last Jedi, probably the most divisive Star Wars movie. Would you agree? I don't think there's one that more people either love or hate than The Last Jedi. You'll get a lot of in between with some of the other ones. People either thought this was like, what a cool difference, or I hate this movie. Is that your experience with it too? That's mine.
I agree. I agree 100%. I'll tell you where I lean on. I can tell you that. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time.
Fair.
But I'll give you my initial reaction.
Well, I'll do mine too. Yeah, what was yours?
I fucking loved it. I saw it twice in the theater.
Okay. I also saw this twice at the theater because I hated it. And I needed to see it again to see if I actually hated it.
So then you know what? That's a that is a good movie. That's a good movie that if it puts you back to sit in that seat to see if you don't
Does it mean it's good? I don't know. I mean, I saw it with two different people, and the second time I was like, I didn't like this movie, but they hadn't seen it. And I was like, you know what? Let me give it another try. Maybe I missed something and I hated it again. So this is, we are a perfect example of what I just said. You loved it. Yeah. I hated it. I also have not seen it since the theater. I never rewatched it at home. So this is going to be a fun. And Scott, we have no idea what Scott, I don't even
know. Yeah, I don't know. He might hate it.
I feel like he hates it. The way he wanted to be on, I feel like he hates it. So this should be a fun one.
I might be the only one defending it, but I would just say this one thing before, because that'll be next week's episode. Yes. But I will say this. One thing I did enjoy about this movie, and the reason why I did like it in the theater and I saw it twice, was I had hope that we finally got a Star Wars movie that was cinematic. And I will leave it that way. Okay. And I mean, in terms of the way it was shot, color graded, I mean, Nate, I know we're not doing this episode right now, but I will say this, and you can say yes or no, and then we'll move it on. Do you feel like that movie was the most polished in terms of filming?
Out
of the first and the third?
I think it has some of the best, from what I remember, some of the best looking moments of the three movies. Yes, cinematically, like the way it's filmed, the way it's shot. I can say I agree with that. Yes.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. We'll continue the conversation. I know it's a storyline, but what I mean is, like, we'll continue this conversation next episode. Yeah, it's going to be very great. I can't wait to see what Scott says, but that was going to be fun. Okay, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcast on. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Action Movie Guys. All our podcast episodes are there. Every time it gets uploaded, it goes straight to YouTube. Or you guys could take it also on the go with YouTube Music. We are there also. And of course, you guys want to follow us on Instagram. That is on Geeks and Flicks Instagram page. Or you guys can follow us in our individual page if you guys want. I am AFIG007. Nate is Netflix Reviews on Instagram. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.